Greetings, everyone. Welcome to Sabbath Services. And before we get started, since we're going to talk about the Middle East today, I have something very interesting that I need to read to you, since it involves the Muslims and those who may fight against them. Now, this took place in London. A devout Arab Muslim entered a black cab in London. He curtly asked the cabbie to turn off the radio because, as decreed by his religious teaching, he must not listen to music because in the time of the Prophet Muhammad, there was no such music, especially Western music, which is the music of the infidel. The cab driver politely turned off the radio, stopped the cab, and opened the door. And the Arab Muslim asked him, "What are you doing?" And the cabbie answered, "In the time of the Prophet Muhammad, there were no taxis. So get out and wait for a camel." That was really, really good.
Yeah. Let's study
now. Okay. Well, we've been watching this going on for the better part of 2 weeks now. What's going to happen in Syria, and our completely indecisive president doesn't know what to do. But as one man said, he shot off his lip, and now he's got to make himself look good, which means that he will look silly in the eyes of everyone else, especially when he goes to the G20 meeting in Russia, September 20th. Now, what we are seeing is the decline of the United States. Now, before us, Britain has declined. And we know from prophecy that Britain is Ephraim and we are Manasseh. So what I want to do before we get into the things that are happening, let's come to Genesis 49 and let's look at the blessing given to Joseph or Ephraim and Manasseh, because Israel said that my name will be named on the lads, and the name of my fathers, Abraham and Isaac. Now here in Genesis 49, Jacob, before he died, called them together to bless them. Now we won't go through all the 12 tribes or explain those, but let's come here to verse 22, Joseph. And we will see the blessing that was given. And also let's understand that in verse 1 he said, "Gather yourselves together that I may tell you what shall happen to you in the last days." So this is a prophecy of the last days. And of course, to prepare for this, God then did things to strengthen England, provide them with the Word of God through William Tyndale and the translation that he did from the New Testament Greek and the Old Testament Hebrew, and to prepare the way for them. Now, beginning with the reign of Henry VIII, after Tyndale had finished translating the Old Testament and the New Testament, there was produced the Thomas Matthew Bible, and that was actually by William Tyndale. The T stands for Tyndale. Matthew is a V upside down to an M. So that was the code that this was from William Tyndale, the Thomas Matthew Bible. And because of the separation from the Roman Catholic Church by King Henry VIII, now what happened was, he married Anne Boleyn. And Anne Boleyn gave him William Tyndale's Obedience of the Christian Man, which clearly was anti-Pope. And so, Henry VIII, wanting the power to himself and to stop the money going to the Pope, he declared that the Church of England was independent from Roman Catholicism. After reading the book, The Obedience of the Christian Man, which starts out with the man and the woman and the children and the rulers and the king, and how the king is directly responsible to God. Well, 18 months after that happened, and that was in 1535, late 1535, and 18 months after that happened, he declared that the Thomas Matthew Bible would be put in every church in England, and that if anyone was not able to read, the parish had to provide a reader for that person. Now, they made many changes to get away from Catholicism after that beginning of the Protestant Reformation in England. However, they never finished it. They never came to the Sabbath or the holy days. And here's one of the things concerning the Protestants, those of the 10 lost tribes of Israel who were never lost but relocated in northwestern Europe and Britain and America. And even today, with the long history of the Brits, Americans are just colonists. And we had to come and rescue them, World War I and World War II. So they need to be thankful for their brother, Manasseh. So what happened was that beginning with the reign of Queen Elizabeth I, and she was the daughter of Anne Boleyn by Henry VIII. Now, between Elizabeth I and King Edward VIII was Bloody Mary. The Catholics got control back for a short time between the death of King Henry VIII and the beginning of the reign of Anne Boleyn, a daughter who became Queen Elizabeth I. And beginning with that time, and the Spanish Armada was defeated, God sent a great storm, and all the ships that didn't sink because of the storm, the British fleet went out and got rid of them. And so England started becoming the world's greatest power. And they came from the poorest nation in Europe at the beginning of Queen Elizabeth I's reign to the richest nation in Europe. And they began colonizing and going around the world. And the British Empire came from that. And British means covenant sons or covenant men. So let's read the prophecy of it here, beginning in verse 22. Joseph is a fruitful bough by a well whose branches run over the wall. The archers have fiercely attacked him. They've always had wars. They've had to be a fighting people because of the enemies, and have shot at him and hated him. But his bow abode in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. From there is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. And that has to do with the king or queen being coronated on the coronation chair with the stone of scone underneath it. Now, this presents a problem for the Protestants. Now, they reformed an awful lot. But they never got rid of Sunday, and they never got rid of the holidays, of the Roman Catholic Church. Now, in Britain, though, after the Reformation began, there were a lot of those who started keeping the Sabbath and keeping many of the things of the Old Testament. And during the 20-year rule of Oliver Cromwell, they got rid of the holidays for a time. But as soon as he passed from the scene, and the thing that he did, he reaffirmed that the king did not have divine right to do anything he desired. And the king, by the pressure of this movement, had to accept that he was limited in the things that he could do by the word of God and by Parliament. Well, many of the Sabbath keepers had to leave Britain and go to Holland, and that's where the pilgrims came from. Part of them came from England, and they met up with those in Holland, and they came over on the Mayflower, and that's how they got here. All right. So Protestantism has thought, because they didn't understand that this blessing came from God, because God promised it to to the sons of Joseph, Ephraim and Manasseh, that they were being blessed because of what they were doing. And we will see, and we know through history, they gradually got away from the other things in the Bible that they were practicing. And now, look at how we have become so desecrated with all of our sins and things that we have in the United States and Britain today. So we need to keep that in mind. Now, verse 25, by the God of your Father who has helped you, may the Almighty bless you with blessings of heaven above, blessings of the deep that lie beneath, blessings of the breast and of the womb. The blessings of your Father are greater than the blessings of my ancestors unto the utmost bound of the everlasting hills. Quite a thing, quite a blessing. They shall be on the head of Joseph and on the crown of the head of him, the ruler, the leader who was separated from his brethren. Now, because of these blessings, and because God caused the English people, along with the French and the Dutch, to publish the Bible and spread it around the world, which they should have done, but they taught them Protestantism rather than the truth of the Bible. So the fall was already set for Protestantism right at the beginning. Now, that's parallel with what happened at Mount Sinai. When Moses was up on the mountain, what did Aaron the priest do when the children of Israel came to him and said, well, we don't know what's happened to Moses. Make us God. So he made the golden calf. And that was a prophecy of the destruction of the whole temple system. And what did they worship? The golden calf. What did the golden calf have between its horns? A sun disk. So they were worshiping the sun. And they made a feast to the Lord while they worshiped the golden calf. So that sealed the fate of the temple system down in history. Now let's come to Numbers 33 and let's see where another blessing was given. No, Deuteronomy 33, beg your pardon. Deuteronomy 33, and we will see where the blessing was given again to Joseph, and let's pick that up, okay? Joseph, verse 13, and of Joseph he said, blessed of the Lord be his land. And haven't all the best lands of the world been given to the Brits and the Americans and their colonies? With the precious things of the heaven, good climate, plenty of water, lots of rivers, for the dew and for the deep that couches beneath, for the precious things of the fruit of the sun, with the precious things of the yield of the months, and with the chief things of the ancient mountains, the precious things of the everlasting hills, gold, silver, oil, coal, copper, iron, aluminum, all of those things. And for the precious things of the earth and the fullness of it, and what did they do? They gathered wealth from around the world. And for the goodwill of him who dwelt in the bush, let the blessing come on the head of Joseph and on the top of the head of him who was separated from his brothers. His glory is like the firstborn of his bull, and his horns are like the horns of the wild ox. With them he shall push the people together to the ends of the earth. They are the 10,000s of Ephraim and the thousands of Manasseh. Again, a military power. So we want to look at these things first before we look at some of the things that will that are coming upon us today. And in particularly, the situation in Syria. Because that will fulfill several prophecies that we will see. All right? Let's come to Micah, the first chapter. Now, everything in the Bible has a purpose. Joel, Amos, Jonah, and then Micah. All right, now, the first chapter talks about the return of Christ. Now, we'll be talking about that on the Feast of Trumpets. So let's pick it up here in verse 1. Chapter 1, verse 1, the book of Micah. The word of the Lord came to Micah, the Moreshethite, in the days of Jotham, Ahaz, Hezekiah, kings of Judah, which he saw concerning Samaria, which are the 10 tribes of Israel, and Jerusalem, which is the Jews today over in Palestine. Hear, all you people, hearken, O earth, and all its fullness. Now, how many times does God bring heaven and earth as a witness to his people? All the time. And let the Lord be witness against you, even from his holy temple. For behold, the Lord is coming out of his place and will come down and tread on the high places of the earth. And the mountains shall melt under him, and the valleys shall split open, as was before the fire, and as waters that are poured out of the deep places. All of this is for the transgression of Jacob, and for the sins of the house of Israel. What is the transgression of Jacob? Is it not Samaria, the golden calf? And they had the time at the Reformation to change and repent. And they didn't do it. Now, I think William Tyndale was keeping the Sabbath and was beginning to understand that the holy days needed to be kept while he was translating the five books of Moses. But since he worked alone, there's no way to absolutely prove it, except there's one telltale clue in his writings. Before he started translating the Old Testament, he talked about the holidays, referring to the ones of the Roman Catholic Church. After he was translating the books of Moses, he said holy days. So that may be an indication that he began to understand it. Verse 6, for I will make Syria as a heap in the field, and as planting places for a vineyard, and I will hurl down her stones into the valley, and I will uncover her foundations, and all her graven images shall be smashed to pieces, and all her gifts shall be burned with fire, and I will destroy all her idols, for she gathered them as the hire of a harlot, and they shall return as the hire of a harlot. Now, what I'd like you to do is put in your notes and remember this. Read Ezekiel 16 and Ezekiel 23. Now, let's come to chapter 2. Verse 1. Woe to those who plot wickedness and prepare evil on their beds. When the morning is light, they practice it because it is in their power. It is in the power of their hand. Now, we're going to see this is talking about politicians. It's also talking about those who control the money, because it talks about lands and things like this. And what is the problem today? Government and banks. But ahead of that are the religionists. So we'll see that, and why we come to what we're looking at today. Now let's come over here to chapter 3 and verse 1. And I said, hear, I pray you, O heads of Jacob and magistrates of the house of Israel, is it not for you to know justice? Now, justice then means following the word of God. And when we began as a nation, and when Britain began developing their civil code, they followed many of the things in the Bible out of the book of Moses for judgment. Now, all of those things are being wiped away. Now, I don't know the sequence of events in the UK, but I think they follow a similar pattern to what we see in America. And we can look in our day, going back a little over 100 years when the progressives started. We had the institution of the Federal Reserve, and as soon as the government was able to borrow money because of the bankers and the Federal Reserve, likewise the Bank of England and so forth over there, there was war. What did they have to do? Borrow money from the bank. Now you see what has happened during World War I, during World War II. We have Korean War, Vietnam War, and then we have the other skirmishes that we've had, plus Iraq and Afghanistan, and where are we today because of them? In deep trouble. So we see a simultaneous thing happening with the bankers and the government and the monies and the religious leaders who are supposed to be Christian. We'll see that. Now notice, verse 2. Think about Washington, D.C., and London, as you read this, who hate the good and love the evil. Especially when you get a leader in there that is elected who actually, by his actions, shows that he cares nothing about the Constitution of the United States, nothing about the history of the people, nothing about Protestantism, though he professes it. You tear the flesh off, the skin off my people and strip the flesh from their bones. That's economically. Has that been happening? Yes, indeed. Who also eat the flesh of my people and tear their skin off of them and break their bones and chop them into pieces like meat for a pot and like flesh for the cauldron. We're going to take everything from everybody we can. Then they, that is the people, shall cry to the Lord, but the Lord will not answer them because it was within their power to turn it back, and they haven't done it. He will even hide his face from them at that time, as they have done evil in their doings. Thus says the Lord concerning the prophets who mislead the people, who bite with their tongues and cry peace. Now, what is the greatest modern false doctrine that has caused Protestantism to become completely inept today in the face of all the problems we are facing? The rapture. Because they are told, you don't have to worry. When bad times come, Christ is going to call you home to heaven. And there will be the rapture, and you will be magically delivered from all the problems. And so, therefore, does that not build complacency? Yes, indeed. And if you have Christ, are you not having everything? Yes, indeed. And so this has been the grand deception of Protestantism. And they cling to it this day. A lot of them are for Jesus. But when Christ returns and they say, look, we've done many good works, we've done all of these things, we have cast out demons in your name. And Jesus is going to say to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who work lawlessness. So God here is indicting them. We'll see that a little bit later again. Okay? Even prepare war against those who do not put something in their mouths. Therefore, night shall be to you without a vision, and darkness shall be, and not divination. And the sun shall go down over the prophets, and the day shall be darkened over them. They don't know anything. They can't tell you what's going on. Now, someone sent me a very interesting report about Glenn Beck. Now, Glenn Beck has taken the first step to understanding the Bible. Though he's a Mormon, I don't know if he's going to follow the scriptures or follow the Book of Mormon more than the scriptures. So he's got some choices made, because he now believes that the United States is identified in the Bible, he believes, concerning Ephraim and Manasseh. And everybody says, oh, hooray, hooray, hooray. No, he's got a lot of things to do besides that. So let's see what he does. Okay? Verse 7. The seers shall be ashamed and their diviners confounded. Yea, they shall all cover their mouths, for there is no answer from God to them. But to those of God, as contained in the book of Micah, he says, but truly I am full of the power of the Spirit of the Lord and of judgment and might, to declare to Jacob his transgressions and to Israel his sins. And so that has to go out. I even think there are some Protestants who are doing that, those who are for Jesus. Now the churches of God need to be doing this, the politicians as well. So he says, hear this, I pray you, you heads of the house of Jacob, and magistrates of the house of Israel. Magistrates, those are the judges. Look at what the Supreme Court has done to a constitution founded on the principles of God. And remember, when anybody brings God into their declarations, God is going to hold them accountable, because they cannot take the name of God in vain. So when we declare all of our rights come from God, our Creator, God is going to hold us accountable in that. Notice, who hate judgment and pervert all equity. One man. The main justice of the Supreme Court, the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court of the United States, threw upon the people of America Obamacare. by his writing that it was constitutional, which it wasn't, and that it was a tax, which it wasn't. So look at the mess. One man. See, now the magistrates and the judges were to do what? Judge by the statutes and judgments of God. So see how far we have gone. Verse 10, they build up Zion with blood and Jerusalem with iniquity. Now that includes all the 12 tribes of Israel. Her heads judge for a bribe, her priests teach for pay, her prophets divine for silver, yet they lean on the Lord and say, is not the Lord among us? We're God's people. We're hard workers. American ingenuity, British inventiveness, British rulership. And there are sometimes, I think, almost every Brit thinks he's a king or a queen. But I know that's not true. But nevertheless, let's go on. Therefore, on account of you, Zion shall be plowed as a field, and Jerusalem shall become heaps, and the mountains, and the mountain of the temple as high places of the forest. So God shows he's going to judge. All right. Now let's get a few more details of this by coming to Jeremiah 23. Jeremiah 23. Now let's pick it up here in verse 20 first. Okay? Verse 20. The anger of the Lord shall not return until he is executed, until he has performed the purpose of his heart. Now notice that last sentence. In the latter days, you shall understand it perfectly. Now let's see what he says to the shepherds, because listen, every problem we have today, individually, in a family, in a community, in any city, any state, in the federal government, in all of the state governments, from the throne of the queen on down, because she endorsed same-sex marriage in the UK. All of those. And it comes because of the religious leaders. And all of our problems are spiritual problems, whether they are manifested in the sins that we have, those are spiritual problems. In the financial problems we have, those are spiritual problems. In the demise of the churches that we have, those are spiritual problems. In the immorality and homosexuality, those are spiritual problems. So when they reject God and get rid of God, yet lean on God and profess his name, God's judgment is going to come. Now come here to verse 1. Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, and those are the children of Israel, says the Lord. Therefore, thus says the Lord, God of Israel, against the shepherds who feed my people, you have scattered my flock, you have driven them away, you have not taken care of them. Behold, I will bring upon you the evil of your doing, says the Lord. And that is the lawless do away with the law of God theology that they have in Protestantism and Catholicism. And they think because of the blessings that God gave through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob that they are doing right, that they are doing good, but they haven't returned to the Lord. Okay? Now let's see something here beginning in verse 9. As for the prophets, and of course there were a lot of prophets during Jeremiah's day, and they tried to come against him and get him killed. Remember that? And they were the ones who caused him to be thrown into the sewer. It didn't have a lot of running water like the sewers we have today. It was a yuck pot under the earth. So I'll let you use your imagination. And a Cushite had to rescue Jeremiah out of that situation. God helped him, but boy, he let him get up pretty deep in the muck. As for the prophets, my heart within me is broken. All my bones shake. I'm like a drunken man, like a man whom wine is overcome because of the Lord, because of the words of his holiness. The land is full of adulterers. Every kind of evil sex perversion going on, and you can add to that drugs, alcoholism, modern music, whether it be rock music or rap music or whatever kind of nonsense you have. Because of swearing, the land mourns. The pleasant places of the wilderness are dried up, and as we are seeing, burned. Have you noticed every time they make an unrighteous decree concerning same-sex marriage? We have giant fires burning up major places in California. And the fire may reach even to Hetch Hetchy in the Sierra Mountains, which becomes an important thing to consider since the water to San Francisco comes there. Question came up concerning swearing. That's not just taking God's name in vain. That's falsely affirming. That is signing documents in vain. That is taking God's name in vain. That is applying things in vain. That is, well, just like our president. How many times has he told us things that were lies? And he affirmed them. That's swearing, as well as lying. Continuing now. And their course is evil, and they wield power unjustly. Have you been oppressed by the government lately? For both the prophet and priest are ungodly. Yea, in my house I have found their evil, says the Lord. So their way shall be to them as slippery ways in the darkness. They shall be driven on and fall in their way, for they bring evil on themselves even the year of judgment, says the Lord. God's judgment is coming. We've had a lot of them come, haven't we? One after the other. When will we listen? When will we wake up? Verse 13, here is a key verse. I have seen repulsive things in the prophets of Samaria. They prophesy by Baal and cause my people Israel to go astray. That's how we've been misled. I have also seen in the prophets of Jerusalem a horrible thing. They commit adultery and walk in lies. They also strengthen the hands of the evildoers so that none returns from his evil. They are all of them like Sodom to me and her inhabitants like Gomorrah. That's exactly what we're doing. Did you know that a California court upheld the banning of a website where they offered help to homosexual men, where they could overcome their sin and their problem by turning to Christ? They said, you can't do that. Now, what happens when the Sodomites take full control? Well, all you have to do is read Genesis 19, when the two angels came to Lot's house. They had a riot. They demanded their way. And the angels had to blind them in order to protect Lot and then take him out in the morning. Okay, let's continue here. Verse 15. Therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts concerning the prophets, behold, I will feed them wormwood and make them drink poisonous water. For from the prophets of Jerusalem, that includes all 12 tribes, ungodliness has gone forth into the land. Doesn't that happen? What do you do when the Methodists endorse same-sex marriage for one of their bishops? And likewise the Lutherans. And what is it that now they have the homosexual Bible? They call it the gay Bible. I'll bring some segments of church at home on that. And that they have taken away the freedom of speech and have labeled anything against the Sodomites as hate speech. Evil has gone forth. Verse 16, thus says the Lord, do not listen to the words of the prophets who prophesy to you. Well, that's precisely why we have church at home. You can get your Bible and you can listen at home, because what you're going to get at church is not the Word of God. Though they read from the Bible and use some of the words of God, they are giving you fairy tales. They make you vain, they speak a vision from their own heart, not out of the mouth of the Lord. What did Jesus say? The one whom God has sent does what? Speaks the words of God. That's how you understand all the words of God, not just some of them, but all. Okay, come over here to verse 21. I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. But if, now notice, this is a fantastic verse. See, the word of God is not restricted to anyone if they follow the word of God. That's how great it is. But if they had stood in my counsel and had caused my people to hear my words, they would have turned them from their evil ways and from their evil doings. Now, some have done that. We have a clip on one of the segments of Church at Home where there's a Sunday-keeping preacher who was telling them about the Sabbath. And it happened to be in a black church. And he said, you know, the way that, in very emphatic ways, God says the seventh day is the Sabbath day. That's Saturday. And Sunday. That's an invention of white people. Well, the first half he had right. The second half was a mixture of truth and error. But it was interesting to see what he did. Okay? Now verse 22. But if they had stood in my counsel and caused... I read that. Yes. Verse 23. Am I a God who is near, says the Lord, and not a God far off? No. God is as close to you as your knees. You get on your knees and start praying to God in truth and honesty. And first you start glorifying Him. And then you get to your problems. Because you must first glorify Him, just like Jesus said. When you pray, say, Our Father who is in heaven, holy is your name. See. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's how you start. And then you start confessing your sins, and then you ask for God's will in your life. See, that's where it really begins. And even if it would have been a Protestant minister, God would honor them. Verse 24, can anyone hide himself in secret places so that I do not see him, says the Lord? Do I not fill the heavens and the earth, that is, with his power and his spirit to uphold everything? I have heard what the prophets said who prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed, I have dreamed. How long shall this be in the heart of the prophets who prophesy lies and who are prophets of the deceit of their own heart? They scheme to cause my people to forget my name by their dreams, which they tell, each one to his neighbor, as their fathers have forgotten my name for Baal. Notice, the prophet who has a dream, let him tell a dream. And the one who has my word, let him speak my word faithfully. And that's what it has to be. All right, we'll take a break right after this. Is not my word, no. Yes, speak it faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat, says the Lord? Is not my word like a fire, says the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces? Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets who steal my words, each one from his neighbor. That's the source of the problems that the modern day Israelites have today. Then the government, then the teaching, and people follow all of those mistaken things. So let's go ahead and take a break. Now as we go on, let's finish this section in Jeremiah 23, because there's some pretty strong words here by God. Let's pick it up here in verse 31. Behold, I am against the prophets who use their tongues to say, he says, when I did not say. Behold, I am against those who prophesy false dreams and tell them and cause my people to go astray by their lies and by their wantonness. See, God also holds every individual responsible because they have Bibles. But just like many Protestant churches, if you have Christ, everything is fine. You don't need to read the Old Testament because that's all been fulfilled or done away. And much of the New Testament, we don't need to follow those things, but, you know, just the church doctrine that we have for our church. And it all sounds so good, but they're lies. Okay? Yet, I did not send them nor command them, therefore, they shall not profit this people at all. And remember, it says up there in verse 20, in the latter days you shall understand it perfectly. Okay? Now, let's see some things here. Let's come, first of all, to Leviticus 26. Leviticus 26. Now, this is the parallel chapter of Deuteronomy 28, and we'll go to Deuteronomy 28 in a little bit. Leviticus 26. Now, the first part of it talks about how that if you will, let's read the first couple of verses here of Leviticus 26, so we can get the comparisons. Now, remember, because of the blessings of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob upon Ephraim and Manasseh, many good things happened to the children of Israel in the latter days, because God fulfilled his promises. And now they have translated that to all of their goodness and their religion and their ability as they systematically have gotten rid of God. So let's come back to where it should have been. Leviticus 26 and verse 1. You shall make no idols to yourselves. Now you can take and make a whole series of sermons on that. And where are the strongest idols? Right in the mind. Whatever it is. And God said to the elders who came to Ezekiel, and they wanted to know about the Lord. And the Lord said, I will not be inquired at all by you because of the idols of your mind. Paraphrase. So we can't come to God like a rabbit foot or a good luck charm so that things will work better for us. We come to God with no conditions, on His terms, not ours, because He is Creator, not us. You shall not set up for yourselves graven images or a standing pillar. You shall not set up any image of stone in your land in order to bow down to it, for I am the Lord your God. You shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary. Now translate that into New Testament obedience, okay? We don't come to a temple that's made on the earth. We come to the throne room of God the Father and Jesus Christ in heaven above, and that is the sanctuary, see? How do you reverence the sanctuary of God? Through your prayers and your love and obedience to God. That's how you do it. I am the Lord. If you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them, then he will give all these blessings that will come down and so forth. Now, since we're going to be talking about, let's pick it up here in verse 6. I will give peace in the land and you shall lie down and none shall make you afraid. What do we have today? What is the crime rate? And I will cause evil beasts to cease out of your land. Well, have we had pythons in Florida eating little children? Yes, indeed. Neither shall the sword go through your land. Well, it is coming. It is coming. You shall chase your enemies and you shall... They shall fall before you by the sword. 5 of you shall chase 100, and 100 of you shall put 10,000 to flight. Yeah. Now, to show you how this is fulfilled, Sam Houston, who told them who were defending the Alamo, don't get in there because you'll be boxed in, and sure enough, Santana got all of them. He didn't stay there, he went. He had some forces of his. And he let Santana come after him and kept moving. And let Santana follow him and kept moving until Santana split his forces up. Then he attacked them. Only 6 of the troops of Sam Houston were killed. 20-some were wounded. And they killed what? 600? 60?
Over 600. And wounded over 600.
Yeah. And yeah, they defeated them just about like this. 5 of you shall chase 100. Okay?
You know how long it took? 18 minutes.
It took 18 minutes, and then Sam Houston, the brave man, was running away. Not Sam Houston, but Santana, rather. The brave man was running away, and Sam Houston chased him with his troops and caught him and brought him back and exchanged him for the grant of the state of Texas above the Rio Grande River. There were a lot of fulfillments like this. I mean, how many have seen the movie Zulu? Okay? South Africa. That was literal fulfillment of this. See? And 100 of you shall put 10,000 to flight. Now, what do we have? We have terrorists, and they put tens of thousands to flight, one person. And your enemy shall fall by the sword in front of you. All right? God says down here, verse 12, I will walk among you and will be your God, and you shall be my people. That's what people want. However, you have to do it God's way. People want to continue in their sins and expect the blessings of God. That'll never happen. Verse 13, I am the Lord your God who brought you forth out of the land of Egypt from being their bondsmen. And I have broken the bonds of your yoke and have made you go upright. Now notice verse 14. But if, conditional, always remember this, you don't put conditions on God. But if you will not hearken to me and will not do these commandments, remember we talked about it, we'd know it in the latter days? And if you shall despise my statutes, oh, you don't have to read any of the Old Testament, it's done away. Oh, you don't have to go by that, that was only for the Jews. Or if your soul hates my judgments, look at what we've done with the judgments in our judicial system today, so that you will not do all my commandments, so that you break my covenant, I will also do this to you. This is exactly what we are looking at. And all the Obamacare in the world isn't going to turn that around. I will also do this to you. I will appoint over you terror. Do we have a war on terror? Oh, but, you know, our courageous president said, well, it has to come to an end. Listen to me, folks. So we get bombed even more. Consumption and burning fever causing the eyes and consuming the eyes rather and causing sorrow of heart, and you shall sow your seed in vain, for your enemies shall eat it. And I will set my face against you. Now those are pretty strong words. But the more we sin, the more God's face is set against us. And you shall be slain before your enemies. Isn't that what has happened? I suppose if you lob a few cruise missiles in there, and I think it was interesting how one of the ex-generals said, what is the president going to do after he has sent in 75 or 100 of these cruise missiles? And Assad comes out and stands on one of these bomb holes holding a dead child and said, they shot at us, but we're still here. All of that is punishment by God because we have rejected God in everything, from the churches, from the governments, from the schools, from the colleges, from personal lives. All of that is punishment by God. Now let's continue on here, verse 17. And I will set my face against you. You want God on your side? You get on God's side. That's what it is. See? And you shall be slain before your enemies. And they that hate you shall reign over you. And when you shall flee when none pursues you, fear reigns. And if you will not yet for all this hearken to me, then I will punish you seven times more for your sins. Now hold your place here and come to Deuteronomy 28, and let's pick it up in verse 41. Now let's see how this is happening today. So you read all, now it's not comforting words. It's nice to have nice words spoken. But unless there is repentance and unless there is a relationship with God and you're loving God and keeping His commandments, those nice words will be reduced in degree as to what your sins that you don't repent of are retained. Whether it is by a church and all of their doctrines, or whether it is by an individual and his private life. God is no respecter of persons. All right, verse 41. This describes today. You shall beget sons and daughters, but you shall not enjoy them. Now, if you have your television on and they're advertising the latest game, I don't know for what it's on. I don't know if it's a Sony box game or whether it's a Droid game. I don't remember that. But the name of it is Diablo. And that means Satan. Think about all the video games that kids play. Some of them get so good at it, like this 8-year-old boy, took a gun to school and shot some of his mates right in the head, accurately, because he had played on that game for so long. Think what we're teaching them. Think of all the sex and drugs and everything that's with it. Well, this one about Diablo, father comes home, and he sees going up the steps the stripping off of clothes, and including his daughter's bra. So he's wondering what's going on, and he goes upstairs, and he opens the bedroom door, and here are three people in there, one all dressed up as the devil, and they're playing the video game there. And so what happens? The father takes off his clothes and sits down with them to play the game. Now that's what's being fed into the mind of our children. Does that amount to God's word? If you don't keep my commandments, I will forget your children because you have forgotten me? Yes, indeed. Let's go on. All your trees and the fruit of your land, the locust shall possess. Sooner or later, that's going to happen. The stranger dwelling among you shall get up above you very high. That has been happening degree by degree by degree. And now they're gaining more and more control. But notice, and you shall come down very low. He shall lend to you, and you shall not loan to him. Did you know that the Chinese who worship Satan with their dragon and everything look upon the Americans as immoral? Think on that. They'll have no trouble shooting us, sending us off into captivity. Now, all of the Muslims that are here, they've got armies in nearly every major city of America. Now, they're not called armies. They're moderate Muslims. However, they have taken over Dearborn, Michigan, which is right next to Detroit. And the police don't even go there. Sharia law rules in Dearborn. Is that your enemy getting high above you? When will it happen in other cities? I'll let you think on that for a while. He shall be the head and you shall be the tail. That means they will be in charge, right? What's going to happen with our debt? Think on that for a while. At the end of September, they've got to tackle the debt problem, which is $17 trillion. And that's just the federal debt. That's not talking about anything else. And where's the money going to come from? See? Verse 45, and all these curses shall come on you and shall pursue you and overtake you until you are destroyed. Isn't that what's happening? Yes, indeed. I know I was watching Drug USA on National Geographic Channel. And in San Francisco, they have those who peddle the Mexican meth. And it goes mostly to the homosexual community, because that's part of their partaking of their sexual acts. And they become addicted to it. And they showed the pictures of all of it. They talked to the leader who was selling it. Of course, he masked himself so he wouldn't be known. And they probably signed a contract that National Geographic would not reveal who they were. And there's an area in the city that is called the Tenderloin. And the Tenderloin is known as the death neighborhood, because once the addicts end up on the Tenderloin, the most that they have is a 5-year lifespan. And yet, to talk about that, that's hate speech. Well, I think that behavior is hating oneself greatly. Until you are destroyed because, here's the cause, you did not obey the voice of the Lord your God to keep his commandments and his statutes, which I commanded you. And they shall be on you for a sign and for a wonder, and for your seed forever. Because you did not serve the Lord your God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart for the abundance of all things. We've had abundance of all things. I think about that every time I walk to the refrigerator and open it up and it's full. What do I want? Well, I don't want this and I don't want that and I don't want the other thing. No, there's nothing here I want to eat, so then I go out the store and I buy what I want to eat. I mean, think of that. See? And I think, oh God, what a thing. You know, think of it. What are we going to do if calamity comes and you can't run to the supermarket? Think about that. All right, let's come back to Leviticus 26. Now, verse 18. And if you will not yet for all this hearken to me, then I will punish you 7 times more for your sins, and I will break the pride of your power. I think we're seeing it go down really, really low with this situation in Syria, hey? Our president, who is supposed to be the leader of the most powerful nation in the world, is a laughing stock. And our military, because of budget cuts, are not able to act the way that they should. And he cannot use the power of the United States to do anything except drop a few bombs. And is sent away in his own narcissistic satisfaction that because they crossed the red line, I punished them. Break the pride of your power. What else does that involve? What's going to happen when the dollar collapses? Now, we don't know exactly when it's going to happen. Right now, the Chinese are not pushing it. They vocalize pushing it, but they're not pushing it. You know why? Many people don't know. The Chinese have agreed to buy our treasury bills, our debt, after the Federal Reserve has purchased $85 billion of it for themselves. And remember, the Federal Reserve is a foreign entity owned by strangers. Do they lend to us? Oh, yeah, they do. $85 billion a month just on the federal thing. Okay? So the feds have done this because the Chinese said, since the interest rates are so low on these T-bills, we're not going to buy anymore. Oh, well, you can't do that. So how about if we do this? We will allow your representative to come to the Fed window and buy the bonds right there. And you won't have to pay the brokerage house fee. So that's why the Chinese have not been rattling the saber very hard, because they're getting away with stealing things from us. So what do they do with the T-bills? They turn them into major projects like building roads, railroads, oil pipelines, gas pipelines, building up their country, and take them back to banks in Europe, notably in London, because they buy those back. So what they buy in the bonds, they trade for real assets. Does that break the pride of your power? That take away your money? What are they going to do with the dollar? Because one day it's going to stop. And they're going to do it over a weekend. I think a weekend that has a Monday off as well. 3-day weekend. Remember Cyprus? Remember Cyprus? Remember, banks believe that your money in their banks is theirs. You don't have money. All you have are digital funds. And remember, if you override a check and you get a notice that you overrode the check, what does it say? It doesn't say you ran out of money. It says you have insufficient funds. Because they're digital funds. So we're living in a magical dream world of digital money. Now, when the crunch comes, it's going to be another downward movement. And I have read some of the things that they're planning to do, which is this. Declare all the money outside the bounds of the United States as international dollars. And in the United States, give everybody a haircut of a 20% reduction in value. Now, what did they do in Cyprus? Everything above 100 euros they confiscated. And this really made the Soviet Union mad, because a lot of their money was there and they took it. See, that's why they're supporting Assad. And in order for Russia not to take retaliation against the Cypriot nation, they allowed the Soviets to bring their vessels into their harbors. Convenient arrangement. Okay? So I suspect, now if you read it carefully, it used to be every account was insured up to $200,000. Then when they had the run on the banks a few years ago in 2009, they made it $250,000. But there was a sleight of hand that you may not have noticed. It wasn't every account, but every depositor is insured to $250,000. So if you have two counts or three counts, you see, guess what? Sorry about that. It belongs to us. We have a major crisis. Break the pride of your power, and I will make your heaven like iron and your earth like bronze. That comes about with what? Fires. Look at California. Look at Colorado. What did they just do? Well, Colorado made smoking pot legal. And they approved same-sex marriage. Look what they're doing here in California. All of the nonsense things that they are doing with the children. Boys can go into girls' bathrooms, and girls can go into boys' bathrooms. And have community showers after athletic events. That's going to make Sandusky look like he was just nothing. Guess what's going to happen? You talk about degrading your children. You know, those of you who have children or even teenagers who your family is not in the church, but you want to be, you know, you can get an education, homeschooling, right over the internet in about one-third of the time that it takes to go to these evil satanic state schools. So you need to think about your own mind and what you're going to do with it. All right? Verse 20. And your strength shall be spent in vain, for your land shall not yield its increase, neither shall the trees of the field yield their fruits. Notice, verse 21. And if you walk contrary to me and will not hearken to me, I will bring seven times more plagues on you according to your sins. Verse 23. And if after these things you will not be reformed by me, but will still walk contrary to me, then I will walk contrary to you and will punish you seven times more for your sins. And I will bring a sword on you that shall execute the vengeance of the covenant. And when you are gathered inside your cities, I will send the plague among you, and you shall be delivered into the hand of the enemy. Now those are some pretty strong words. That's going to happen. Now, let's take a look at Jerusalem. Because let's go to Zechariah, the 12th chapter. Zechariah, the 12th chapter. Okay. Now this talks about Jerusalem. And it ties in with Syria. And also the countries around there. Since the United States is not going to do anything, the Prime Minister of Turkey, Erdogan, says he doesn't want to get involved in an action unless it's a real war. Now remember, Turkey used to rule over all the land from Turkey over through to Iraq, all the way down to the Gulf, and they had an alliance with it, Egypt and all of the Gulf states, and North Africa. That was called the Ottoman Empire, which came to an end in 1917 when World War I ended. Don't you think they'd like to get that back? Don't you think they're looking at every opportunity to do something with Syria? Now, they might even make an agreement with Israel that we won't attack you. That's very possible. So let's look at what God says here concerning Jerusalem and the area around, because chapter 12 is very instructive. Verse 1, the burden of the word of the Lord for Israel. So that includes all the tribes, but in particularly Jerusalem in this case. Thus says the Lord, who stretches forth the heavens and lays the foundation of the earth and forms the spirit of man within him. So no one's going to go against God. Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all people all around, and when they shall be in the siege both against Judah and against Jerusalem. They're ready for it, aren't they? I think the Jews can be very thankful they have someone like Netanyahu who has courage to do what he needs to do. That they don't have a weak namby-pamby like we do. Verse 3, and in that day I will make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people. All who burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces. And we know, which we're going to cover this coming Feast of Trumpets, that God is going to gather the armies of the world there in Megiddo, which is just north of Jerusalem. Though all the nations of the earth be gathered against it. Now notice what he says here, verse 4. In that day, says the Lord, I will strike every horse with terror and his rider with madness, and I will open my eyes upon the house of Judah and will strike every horse of the people with blindness. He is going to then recognize the Jews' efforts. Okay? Now we'll look at some things here in just a bit. Verse 5. And the governors of Judah shall say in their heart, the people of Jerusalem shall be my strength and the Lord of hosts their God. In that day I will make the governors of Judah like a hearth of fire among the wood. Not just the attitude they have. And remember, they have 250 nuclear warhead bombs. And like a torch of fire among the sheaves, and they shall devour all the people all around on the right hand and on the left hand, and Jerusalem shall be inhabited again in her place, even Jerusalem. When he does that, he's going to begin to save the Jews. Verse 7. The Lord also shall save the tents of Judah first, so that the glory of the house of David and the glory of the people of Jerusalem may be magnified above Judah. And in that day the Lord shall defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and it shall be, he who is feeble among them shall be, shall be like David. And the house of David shall be like God and the angel of the Lord before them. So this is going to be awesome. There are going to be things that take place when the two witnesses come on the scene. And God is going to choose them. And think of the arrogance of some of those who are supposed to be ministers of God to say, I am one of the two witnesses. Well, he's doing time in a federal prison right now. And another one who has yet had his judgment to come upon him says, I am Joshua the high priest, and I will be over the two witnesses. How arrogant is that? You know, you don't want to fight against God. All right. Verse 9. And it shall be in that day I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem. Now hold your place here and come back to Revelation 11. All right? Now Revelation is an, not Revelation, but number 11 is an interesting number. It is the number of judgment. What is the judgment of Genesis 11? Confounded their languages and scattered them because they built the Tower of Babel, right? Well, Revelation 11 is what? God's judgment with the two witnesses. Now, by this, we know there's the temple that's going to be built. We won't get into that. That's coming. And remember, where are we in prophecy? Remember, there must be a temple built, and there must be a holy place in order for the man of sin, the son of perdition, to come and sit himself down in it and say that he is God. Now, here is going to be the bane of the whole world. Because of Zechariah 12. Okay? Verse 3. And I will give power to my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two lampstands that stand before the God of the earth. Just like Moses. They're going to be something. They're not going to come from the churches of God. World won't listen to them. You think that two men coming from the churches of God into Jerusalem saying, we're the two witnesses, that they would be accepted by the Jews? Nonsense. They'd take and lock them up. Verse 5, here's the power that they have. And if anyone attempts to harm them, fire will go out of their mouths and devour their enemies. Now think about how they're going to report this on the news. And if anyone attempts to harm them, he must be killed in this manner. These have authority to shut up heaven so that no rain may fall in the days of their prophecy. They have authority over the waters to turn them into blood and to smite the earth with every plague as often as they will. Now you think the confrontation that's going to come. Now, what's going to happen to the Jews when that happens? Okay? There's going to be some repentance, don't you think? Come here to the book of Malachi, chapter 4, and then we'll come back to Zechariah 12. Because there is coming a third Elijah. Malachi 4, the very last page before you come to the beginning of Psalms. Okay? Zechariah 4 and verse 1. Remember the sermon I gave on the three Elijahs? Elijah the prophet in the book of Kings, John the Baptist in the New Testament. And the third one is going to be the one who is going to baptize all of those Jews who repent. Let's read it. For behold, the day is coming, burning like a consuming oven, and all the proud and every doer of wickedness shall be stubble. And the day comes, and that day comes, shall burn them up, says the Lord of hosts, and leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness will arise. Now, many people have asked the question, why is it called the Son of Righteousness? The answer, the sign of the Son of Man, as we find in Matthew, the 24th chapter, is going to shine like the sun. So it's going to be the sun declaring the righteousness of God. And it's not the sun that God created. It is the sign of the Son of Man coming that looks like another sun. Okay? I know I thought about that a long time. God says, don't worship the sun. So why? The Son of Righteousness shall arise, and healing will be in his wings, and he shall go out and grow up like the calves in the stall. Okay? Now notice. Verse 4. Remember the law of Moses, my servant. And that's what the Jews are going to remember when the two witnesses come on the scene, and then hence this Elijah, which I commanded him in Horeb for all the land of Israel with the statutes and judgments. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. Now, what do you suppose they're going to do when the two witnesses start? This is going to be powerful. This is going to be unprecedented. Now notice, here's what he is to do. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the sons and the heart of the sons to the fathers. That means back to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and the word of God. Lest I come and smite the earth with utter destruction. All right, come back to Zechariah 12 now. Let's see what is going to happen at that time. Okay, verse 10. Now, the 10 tribes of Israel, especially Ephraim and Manasseh, are going to be carried off into captivity. But those in Jerusalem will be in a different situation. And what's going to happen in Syria is that, in addition, the Jews may have to retaliate and do some things in Syria, like it says here, become like a flame of fire against those all around. But what's going to happen to the civilians? Verse 10. And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the people of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication. And they shall look upon me whom they have pierced. They will recognize that the Messiah really was Jesus. And they shall mourn for him as one mourns for his only son, and shall be in bitterness over him as the bitterness over the firstborn. In that day there shall be great mourning in Jerusalem because of what the two witnesses are doing. Mourning like of Hadad Rimmon in the valley of Megiddo. The land shall mourn, every family apart, the family of David apart and their wives apart, the family of the house of Nathan apart and their wives. And remember, the physical line of Jesus came from David's son, Nathan, and their wives apart, the family of Levi's apart, their wives apart, the family of Shimei apart, and their wives apart, all families who remain, every family apart, and their wives apart. Then what are they going to see? They're going to see, at the end of all of it, the return of Jesus Christ and the saints to the earth, to Jerusalem, and Jesus will be king over all the earth in that day, and we will see that on Thursday at the Feast of Trumpets.